today is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. And if you're able to stand, would you please stand? I'd like to read these scriptures audibly in your hearing, and then we'll ask God to help us understand what he has said here. Verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Verse 33. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen. Father, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you today. Now, would you meet with us in the scriptures as we, Lord, attempt to understand by your help what you have said and what it means, and then by the power of the Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives and order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Our subject for today is waiting to see the Lord, waiting to see the Lord. And you might remember that we've looked at several events in the Old Testament where the Old Testament saints were what? They were promised, right, that a Messiah was coming. He's going to be different than the corrupt kings that you've been exposed to. He's going to be the faithful one. He's going to establish a righteous kingdom. He's coming. Don't be discouraged with Ahaz and different kings Hezekiah, even the ones that started out good and they fail. This promised Messiah what? Will not fail. And so they had been waiting for centuries to see this promised Messiah. We saw that Mary and Joseph themselves last week, when they found out that they were actually going to be the Messiah's parents, they were just awestruck, right? They were surprised to learn that the promised Messiah was going to be given to us. And so they were waiting like all of other of God's people, But they were just as surprised as any of the other God's people to see how they were going to be used in this event. And then we finally, I want you to remember by way of introduction, that the Holy Spirit, y'all remember Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith involves what? Things that are hoped for, things that are beyond what you naturally you can see, right? Faith involves things that are not seen. That we walk what we live by, what? Faith and not by sight. And so there they were throughout all of these generations. They hadn't seen the Messiah. They didn't know what he was going to look like. That the problem is that they all had imagined what he was going to look like and how he was going to deliver, right? And because of that, many of them missed him. And that's the problem with setting up your own expectations. You need to wait on the Lord, right, and see how he's going to reveal it. So with that in mind, excuse me, by way of introduction, we're going to take these verses, and these will be our primary areas of thought. I want you to see in verses 22, 23, and 24 that Jesus is brought by his parents, okay? Then in verses 25 through 35, I want you to see that Jesus is revealed to Simeon. His parents brought him. God revealed him to Simeon, and then finally in verse 36, 37, 38, he's praised by Anna. You get it? He was brought, revealed, and praised. And I hope that God will bring great joy to your heart as we see this marvelous thing unfold. So let's look initially here at Jesus being brought to the temple. You notice, again, go back to verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem. Here it is, to present him to the Lord. Okay? That's the key. That's the purpose. The purpose was the child was going to be consecrated. Okay? He's going to be consecrated. So they brought him up to present him to the Lord. We got them. We do similar kinds of services, I say, with little babies, right? We dedicate them. We call them dedicating them back to the Lord. Well, this was a very biblical, and that has biblical origins, you know, dedication. Even though you know how bizarre it can be, but that's the whole idea here, is that Christ was being consecrated back to the Lord for his service. You remember the same thing happened with baby Samuel. Remember Hannah and Elkanah couldn't have a baby, right? You remember how that worked? And God finally blessed Hannah. She had a baby. She said, I'm going to keep him until I what? Wean him. And then I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord's service for the rest of his life. And so she kept him until he's maybe 2 or 3 years old. Took him to the temple and what? Dedicated him, consecrated him to the service of the Lord. That's what you're getting here. You got it? And so that the reason then that this happening, if can you hold your place there in Luke 2 and turn back to Numbers 18, is because God had instructed his people how to respond with the birth of the firstborn in the family. Numbers 18 and verse 15. Everything that opens the womb of all flesh, whether man or beast, which they offer to the Lord, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And their redemption price, at a month old, you shall redeem them. You shall fix at 5 shekels in silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. And so all firstborn creatures belong to the Lord. And you gave them to the Lord either by sacrifice or you redeemed them with money. Okay? And so that's the whole idea of Numbers 18 there. Believers, saints, were not to sacrifice their children. There was no child. That was heathenistic, right, to sacrifice your children. But the child belonged to God, so he says, you are to redeem them with
this money, this offering. That was a gesture to show that this child was valuable to you, and I want to obey, I want to honor God. The child actually belongs to God, but I'm going to, if you think of it, buy them back. You know that it's symbolic. The whole idea is that this child belongs to God, but I'm going to redeem them so that they can be with me. You got the picture? Jesus was then consecrated for service rather than redeemed with money. They didn't pay these 5 shekels. They took Jesus in and says, Lord, he's yours. Right? He's yours. And so he's consecrated. That's the point I wanted you to see. The next thing is that they didn't simply go there for the child. They also went there for the mother. The mother, there was an ordinance or an act of obedience called purification. And so the point is that after 7 days of uncleanness and I believe 33 days of purification, then a mother who had a son, then was to go up to the temple. And the reason I'm taking you back and reading this is that I hope you see how this couple obeyed God. Can you hold your place in Luke 2 and turn to Leviticus 12? This is important enough to read. Some of you may have seen it, but I want to make sure that everybody understands why Mary and Joseph did what they did. You got Leviticus 12? We're going to read the entire chapter. It's only 8 verses. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. You got it? Unclean for 7 days. As at the time of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are complete. You got it? 7 days for uncleanness, 33 days for purification. You got it? 40 days. Now, let's look at if she had a female child. You got verse 5? But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean for 2 weeks, as in her menstruation, and she shall continue in her blood of purification for 66 days. So what? Twice as long. She was to refrain from going into the temple twice as long if she had a female baby as a male. You got it? So rather than 40 days, now it's 80 days if it's a female. And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb or year old for a burnt offering and a pigeon. Don't miss this. And a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. And he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. Verse 8, finally, if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Amen. You got it? I wanted you to read that and understand it for yourself. That's what's happening right here. They have gone up to the temple. They have consecrated the child. Now the mother is going through the purification ordinance. Now, you notice that this ceremony involved the sacrifice of an animal, right? You remember we read that just now in Leviticus 12? Now, what you need to know is that, you remember near the end of that chapter I read, if she cannot afford a lamb or that the sacrifice that was more for wealthy people or people that were more established, then they can use a what? A pigeon, right? And a turtle dove. You saw that? So what does that say? Mary and Joseph were what? They're poor. They're poor. And yet, look at how gracious God is. God is not impressed with your wealth. So he says, you still can worship me. Your poverty, your financial situation should never be an excuse for you to disobey God. He always, always has a plan for obedience. You got it? So people, poor people sacrificed two turtle doves or pigeons since they did not have and could not afford a lamb. So what we see here is that Joseph and Mary loved God and they obeyed his law. I know that it took a little time to read that from the Old Testament, but I wanted you to see this man and this woman not only knew their Bible, they obeyed their Bible. You got it? So God has selected parents that know and obey the law to raise up the child, Jesus. This is very important. You got it? 1 John 5, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, right? His commandments are what? Not burdensome. And so I also want you to see that at the time Jesus was born, they are still in the Old Testament era. People oftentimes forget that. Jesus was born under what? The Old Testament law, right? Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of what? Of a woman born what? Under the law. So they are obeying the law of God because that is God's instruction to them. And God has sent, this is wonderful. God brought Jesus into a family that not only loved God, they obeyed him. Okay? And I say to children here and children that may hear this later on, you are truly blessed if you're in a family where the word of God is lived out and obeyed and taught. Amen. So that's Jesus being brought by his parents. The next thing I want you to notice is that Jesus is revealed to Simeon. And the first thing we see is that Simeon is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And by the way, you notice in each time, they're waiting. They've been waiting for the Messiah. They've been waiting and waiting. And here is a righteous and devout man who's waiting for this Messiah. But notice at the end of verse 25, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. Now, what do we have here? I want you to see that, first of all, the Holy Spirit operates in different people, even different believers, in different ways. Okay, all believers are not always filled with the Spirit. We should be. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit, but we are not. Okay, and so here you have a man who in our vernacular is filled with the Spirit. The Spirit controls him. It controls his thinking. The Spirit controls his actions. Okay, and so you know that when you read the Old Testament, you find that the Spirit would be operating in someone and then leave him, like Samson. Right, you know, and you see this back and forth. You know, the Spirit will be operating on someone, and then the Spirit will leave them. Well, here's a man who's still in the Old Testament era, but he's filled with the Spirit. And you read the Old Testament; there are plenty of people that were filled with the Spirit to do work for God, to build, for craftsmanship, all sorts of things. Okay, so this man was filled with the Spirit, even though there are times that people can grieve the Spirit. You know that? How do you grieve the Spirit? With your sin. When you want, the Spirit is convicting you, and you won't repent. That's grieving the Spirit. Are you quenching? He's telling you to do something, and you're stubborn. So you're quenching the Spirit. He tells you to speak, and you don't. Or he tells you to be quiet, and you keep, you know. He deals with different people in different ways. This man yielded, right? So he's filled with the Spirit. And I want you to know, look at this. The Spirit of God had been working in this man. You see how all that I read for you, you can see that the Spirit of God was granting him the grace to wait. You remember what I read early on? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. How could he wait? The Spirit of God gave him patience, right? The fruit of the Spirit is a love, joy, peace, what? Patience. He gives you patience if you will yield to him. Even though something has taken much longer than you thought, he'll give you patience to wait. This man, he was also, God had, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he'd have length of life, right? Right? He says that God had told him that he what? He would not die until he saw the Lord's deliverer. That's when you get that kind of word from God, that brother had confidence to go on and to be faithful. And I'm not going to be distraught because sickness comes or I have some other challenge in front of me. God has promised me that I what? I will live and not die. And so God, by his Spirit, had promised him that he would have longevity. And then the Spirit finally revealed to him that it was time to act. You notice, see verse 27? And he came in the Spirit into the temple. He came at the right time, right when the parents were bringing this child to consolation. How did he know that? The Holy Spirit. He's orchestrating everything. There's no luck and chance. God, I'm telling you, God never, 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 when it comes to the plan of redemption, he never allows anything to be happening by luck and chance. There is no luck. There is no. God runs everything. It may look bad. It looks difficult to you. You can't understand why he would let this thing happen or that thing. The Bible says God causes what? All things to work together for good to those that love him, those that are called according to his purpose. He's working it all out. There's no chance. He didn't just happen to come in the temple. The Bible says what? He was in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, it's like here today. Why are you here? Because the Spirit brought you here. I was compelled for us. I knew that we had lots of challenges among us. But the Spirit of God didn't release me to say, let's not get together. Okay? So you have to obey the Spirit. You can't do any better than obey the Spirit. Because he knows what he's doing, right? And so you see, the Holy Spirit controlled this brother. And this brother, oh, that's the reason that he got to have this joy, this wonderful privilege in his life. And then you notice that the Holy Spirit not only revealed, he controlled Simeon, but the Holy Spirit enabled Simeon to do what needed to be done. What do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit gives you power, right? He gives you power. Not only does, how does Philippians say, is God is at work in you both to what? Will and to do his good pleasure. Now, he not only gives you desire, then he gives you the power to carry it out. You need both, and they both come from God. God not only changes my mind, but then he enables me to do what I don't even want to do. What I could not do, he enables you to do what he calls you to do. This is wonderful. Wonderful. This is our God. And the Holy Spirit is there working in this brother. He enabled him. You see, look at verse 28. Enable him to take hold. Now you think of the courage of this brother. These parents just brought this child. Now the Bible does not say Simeon was a priest. He's just a man filled with the Spirit that God, probably because you know in those days the priest was so corrupt that God probably didn't even want priests messing with Jesus. It was sad. I mean, look at what happened when Jesus matured and went to what? The priest. They all the priests wanted to what? Kill him. They rejected him. But God's always got, Brother Billy said, he got a ram in the bush. He may not have a title that you think he ought or she ought to have, but God's always got someone that hadn't bowed their knee. He's always got a witness. He's always got someone that's going to be faithful for him, right? And so I want you to think of the courage of this brother. These parents have brought this child here for this righteous ceremony, and this brother decides that he's going to step in. This got to be the Spirit, because you know people got killed for stepping into positions they shouldn't be in the temple, right? And so you see verse 28 there? And he took him up in his arms and blessed God. That's courage. That's good. That's the Spirit of God that told that brother to do that. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. How did he know that? This is just a baby. The baby can't talk. The parents, they just brought him there to consecrate him to the Lord. How did he know that? The Spirit of God told him. You got it? For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for a revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is absolutely amazing. You see what the Spirit enabled his brother to do? Enabled him to take hold of God's deliverer. He enabled him to bless God. It enabled him to prophesy truth about Jesus and even bless his parents. Where did it come from? It came from the Lord. He's just a man living in the Spirit. He wasn't at home writing a sermon. It was just another day obeying the Lord. And I'm telling you, that's what we all need to be aware of. You don't know. You just go about your day, be filled with the Spirit. You don't know what that day is going to bring. He was waiting. It was just another day of waiting for him until the Spirit of God said, today. Think of it. Today, this is the day that is coming true. You don't know. So just be faithful. Just be faithful. And then you see verse 33, and his father, this is speaking of Joseph and Mary, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. They knew that obviously the conception of the baby, and they knew what the angel had said, but they still are amazed that this baby that we're raising is going to accomplish all this. And I'm telling you, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. You can be obeying God and you still don't fully, grasp the whole plan. And that's what he wants. We live by what? Faith. You don't have to see everything. He says, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to what you understand. Because you can't see it all. Even if you could see it all, you couldn't handle it all. God is the only one that's wise enough to see everything. So trust him, right? And so that Mary and Joseph, they are amazed. We know a little bit, but what he's saying about this baby, they marveled at this. That's what God wanted. You have to, when you're in God's will, he reveals to you as he wants. And you have to be willing to be taught by all kinds of people. You see, you can't just think that your teaching only comes in church. God's got people all over in all the venues. He's got you, right? That's when he has you on the job or in the place where you are. Because he needs you to teach somebody. That's what I tell you all about our congregation. We don't have to corral people and bring them here. No. God says, we come here and get taught, and then you go teach. Right? You have to always be ready, right? What? To give an account at any time anybody asks you what? About the hope that's in you. Be ready. All times. All times. And so Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And he let Mary know that you're going to be hurt, right? And the sword will pierce through your soul also. So that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And so this brother has done the will of God in the Spirit. And you notice how he said, now, let me read it for you. You see how he said that in verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He's ready to die. He'd been waiting for this. We don't know how old he was, but a long time. He's right. The Bible said he'd been waiting. Now, this is the apex of his life. He said, Lord, I'm ready to die now. And you know what I believe? This brother didn't know anything about Philippians 1. I think it's Philippians 1:21. But you know it says what? To live is Christ and what? To die is gain. You're not ready to die until you have seen Christ, until you've seen him with your heart, until you know him. But once you have seen him, now you're not only ready to die, you are what? Ready to live. Okay? And so that's the whole issue. You're not ready to live for Christ until you're ready to die for him. And once you're ready to die, because you know where you're going, now you can live. Because death no longer has its sting. It no longer has its fear, right? Remember how Paul said, death, oh death, where is your sting? Christ has taken that away. And so this was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. This 40-day-old infant is ordained and appointed by God to save both Jews and Gentiles. Think of what Joseph and Mary could, what? That baby is less than a month and a half old. You're telling me this baby is going to save the world? This is phenomenal. And I think many of us handle. So, I mean, obviously there's not going to be another birth of Christ. But I think many of us are involved in situations that are a lot more significant than you think. That's the reason we need to be faithful. You don't know what you're doing, how it's going to impact others' lives. Right? Just like Mary and Joseph. They just were faithful and obedient. Jesus is appointed for the salvation of some and judgment of others. Simeon has basically told Mary that she was going to experience grief, right? And anguish in her heart because of the awful things that Christ was going to suffer. God is revealing the truth about this child and all who will be eternally affected by him. Now, I want to end by looking at how Jesus is praised. And this is amazing too. If you'll notice in verses 36 and 37 of chapter 2, we meet Anna, all right? And I want you to see that Jesus is worthy of, just as he was worthy of her sacrifice, he's worthy of our sacrifice. You got verse 36. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Anna married when she was very young. This is typical of Hebrew, of Jewish women, right? A marriage, just like Mary was a teenager. I mean, that was a typical age that Hebrew women got married. And so here you got Anna, who married when she was very young, you know, probably less than 20. And she was married, what, 7 years. So she is less than 30 years old and a widow. Now, she could have done lots of things, right? She could have remarried because her husband died. That's a biblical reason for remarriage. Or she could have gone back to her family. Like you remember Naomi? Naomi in the book of Ruth, you know, she went out and husband and sons died. And so she went back to her family. She could have taken an occupation. I mean, she had other options. But what did she do? She chose to sacrifice all of that. Her youth, she chose to devote all of that to the Lord. That was a willful, conscious decision for this young woman. And I'm telling you something. I think this is something that all young people need to think about. Not your career, but what does God want you to do? Right? Not what the world says you should do. What does God want you to do? Now, by the way, God wants people to work. There's no question about it, right? Matter of fact, he said, if you don't work, what? You don't eat. I mean, so that's not an issue. The only question is, what kind of work does he want you to do? That's the issue. And every young person needs to think about this just as Anna did. She chose to devote her youth, her talents, her skills, all that she had, she devoted that back to service for the Lord. From less than 30 years old to, you know, age 84. So over 50 years easy, you know. Probably 60 years or more of just sacrificial service to the Lord. And so I think that what we see here is with Anna, she had been waiting, and I think if Anna would have verbally expressed this, she would have told every one of us, I have no regrets. I have no regrets that I spent the majority of my life serving the Lord in this way. Because just one look at the Messiah made it what? Worthwhile. It was worth waiting all of these 84 years just to see him with my own eyes. Amen. Think of it. We only got two people right here. Lots of people worked in the temple, but God chose these two to let them see him with their own eyes. They didn't have to rest on nobody else's testimony. I saw him for myself. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. And you finally see then that Jesus is worthy of praise. Verse 38 says that, and coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks. So now y'all know what that's mean, right? She comes up at the very time that Simeon is blessing the baby Jesus, and right, all the proclamation is going on. But Anna came up. Now, how did she know to come up? Come on. You got to see that God is at work here, right? The same spirit that led Simeon led her. Coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. As a prophetess, Anna was also chosen by God, right? So I think that that's one of the things the Bible wanted us to see. The Bible said of Simeon that he was in the Spirit. He was filled by the Spirit and he was being led by the Spirit. Anna was also being used by the Spirit. She was called by God to what? To speak for God. Prophetess meant that she was a woman that spoke for God. Okay? That spoke for God. That's not a big office. That's not an office. That was a role that she had. All right? And that role, if you study the Bible, was oftentimes very temporary. They speak for God sometimes just one occasion that God needed somebody to speak for him. Okay. But this is Anna. She's chosen by the Holy Spirit and used by the Holy Spirit to speak for God. She was a mouthpiece of God for God to both praise God and to proclaim the gospel and the good news. And so with these things in mind, I want to conclude with you thinking about this. We see, I believe in these verses, we see that God uses ordinary people, right, to accomplish so many wonderfully extraordinary things in the kingdom. He uses ordinary people, humble and holy people, regardless of their age or their gender. Hopefully you've seen that. I want to make it clear to you right here at the end, though. Mary and Joseph were what? Very young. Simeon and Anna were elderly, right? So God uses people that will humbly obey him. Simeon, Anna, Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds, none of them had any wealth. They didn't have power. They weren't renowned. They weren't well educated. None of those things were attributed to them. But God, what? Chose them anyway. Okay? So, because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. So I want you to see that the Holy Spirit doesn't select on the basis of what you have done. It selects on the basis of what he plans to do. He selects on the basis of what he sees he can do with you. Amen. Not what you bring to the table, what he brings to the table for you, right? He's the potter. You're the clay, right? And so he doesn't go out and say, man, that's wonderful clay. No, we're all clay. We're all just dirt. But the potter says, I can shape you and make you into something beautiful and useful. And to others, you may it may look ugly because you're just so old. Paul says we're fragile, little fragile jars of clay. They don't. People look at you and don't see how you can do anything, how you can be of any value. And that's what God wants. The treasure is not on the outside. The treasure is what? Paul said that he's invested this treasure inside these weak jars of clay. That's what you see here. Mary, Joseph, they're nobodies. To anybody except to God, right? Simeon, Anna, the shepherds. And that's the reason it was so hard for people to believe. Y'all remember even after Jesus rose from the dead, they got Mary coming there and telling them stuff. Why didn't Peter find this out first? Well, that's not the way God works. You need to listen to whoever he sends. You get it? Don't know where he's coming from. Don't know where he's coming. But you ought to be able to discern God's word and his voice, right? When you hear it. God uses young people and God uses old people, right? God uses males and God uses females. God uses married people and God uses what? Single people. Surely you can see these things. God uses educated people. God uses uneducated people. God uses wealthy people. God uses what? Poor people. He uses ordinary, humble, holy believers, just like you and me. He uses, now this may be difficult for some of you to accept. He uses stubborn people like Mary. And I know you wonder, what? You have to study Mary's name to know why I say that. Mary's name means obstinate, rebellious. So you don't know that. God knew that, but he still says, I'm going to take that little stubborn, rebellious teenager, and I'm going to use her. I'm going to make her, quote, if, not in biblical vernacular, but she's going to be renowned. Even though she doesn't want to do this. Y'all do remember that, right? Mary says, me? he even uses reluctant people like Joseph. Y'all know Joseph didn't want to participate in this either, right? Joseph was ready to quietly, I don't want this problem. Because the Bible really, you know, from my perspective, she cheated on me. And I need to get this problem out of my life. God still says, I'm going to use Joseph. Isn't that good? He uses elderly people like Anna that have dedicated their whole, they didn't go to school. They didn't choose a career. They just chose to serve God all their life. God uses them. He uses men like Simeon who are humble and holy and willing to obey. He uses laborers on everyday jobs like what? The shepherds. So don't think that, and I'm not trying to name all of the venues of life. I'm just saying God uses what? Ordinary people in these extraordinary ways. If, my brother, my sister, you have seen Jesus with the eyes of your heart, and if you believe in him with all of your heart, then you are ready to live for Christ, and you are surely ready to die for him. So what do I say to you? Stay faithful in whatever God has called and assigned you to do. We saw people here that what? Stayed faithful. Mary was a faithful mother. Joseph was a faithful father. Simeon was faithful in whatever God had. We're not told what he was called to do, but we know he was faithful because what? The Spirit of God led him. Anna was faithful in what God called them. The shepherds were faithful. So whatever God has called you to do, just what? Stay faithful with it. Submit to God's will like Mary and Joseph. Be filled with the Holy Spirit like Simeon. And go tell somebody the good news like the shepherds. The Savior has come and he is coming again. You believe that? And if you're not a Christian, I'm saying to you, he's already come, and he's willing to save you today. Whether you are here in our presence or listening by some other medium, the same Christ that was 40 days old and spoken of as being him who would save Jew and Gentile is ready and able to save you right now. If you would only believe. Father, thank you for these great truths about the Lord who has come once and for all to save all who will believe. Thank you for obedient parents that brought him to consecrate him. Thank you for an obedient man who received your revelation to speak wonderful prophecies about him. And thank you for saints like Anna, who will worship, praise, and adore Jesus and tell others without reservation. Lord, let it be so that we would be those faithful servants who would be led by the Spirit and faithful in whatever you call us to do. And for that one who has not come to true faith in Christ, would you work it out in Jesus' name? Amen. Let's bow together.